It's nice to have all the lighting and all that, but what makes the church is us. We are the church. We are the living stones, the living epistles. We are the ones who are carrying the message of the gospel of Jesus. This building can't do it, but we can do it. Amen? And so we are the people. We are God's people. And you know, God's people are precious people because God loves his people. And that's why we are called to love one another. It's because God loves us so much. And so it's a joy. And sometimes we can rub each other up the wrong way. How many know that? That can happen as well all the time. But that's okay because life is never, you know, a constant, is it? Life is never a constant. You know, people upset us. People, you know, do things, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. And so, you know, we just got to rise up and know that we are a bigger person. Amen? And that God loves us. He loves the person next to you. He loves the person down your street. And so it's to be the ability to be able to rise up and say, I love this person. No matter what that person does to me, I still love that person. Why? Because God loves that person too. And so if you have that attitude whilst going into Christmas, because the time of Christmas becomes very stressful for some people and, you know, they get all stressed out and what should we buy? What presents should we get? You know, is the tree right? Is the decoration right? How many turkeys do I have to buy this year? How many people are going to visit? And, you know, all these things keep going on in people's minds and people can get a bit uptight when we are in this season. And so I just wanted to relax, calm down, and take a deep breath and say, right, what's Christmas all about? It's about Jesus. Yeah, yeah. And so today I'm going to talk about the true spirit of Christmas. The true spirit of Christmas. Now, there was once a couple, and they were about to launch on a holiday. And they were in the snow. You know, that's loads of snow. There's no snow here, though. So it can't be in London, that's for sure. Could be in Scotland. But there are loads of snow, and so the husband and wife decided, let's take a vacation. Let's go to somewhere where there's nice and warm. And so the wife, unfortunately, had to go on a business trip first to another part of the country. And so the husband said, right, you go to your business meeting. I'll fly to the hotel, and we'll meet up tomorrow. And so that's what they decided to do. And so when the husband reached the hotel, you know, he decided to write an email to the wife and in a hurry. And so he was looking for, you know, what's my wife's email address? Sometimes we do not know what the wife's email address is, do we, you know? And so he had it written down on his piece of paper, but he had lost his piece of paper. And so he said, let me try and think, what's my wife's email? So he started putting it down. And as he put it down, he missed one letter on the email. Okay, and so he sent it. It went, and the email went to an elderly preacher's wife, and whose husband, her husband, had passed away only the day before. And so, when this grieving lady checked her email, she saw this, and she let out a piercing scream, and she fainted to the floor. And then the family got panicked and they thought, wow, what's happened to this dear lady? And they came rushing up and they saw this note on the screen. And he said, dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Signed, your eternally loving husband. And then there was a PS as well. Sure is hot down here. Okay, so we are talking about the true spirit of Christmas. And when we often hear this phrase, and when people say, get into the spirit of Christmas, what they usually mean is, pack yourself up with alcohol. Am I right? Yeah. Get as much whiskey or gin or brandy or whatever, wine or whatever else that you fancy having, and get into the spirit of Christmas. What they mean is, let's throw a party. You know, let's make it a bit wild. Let's get, you know, get sloshed, as they say. You know. My children are laughing. They're thinking, "What, Dad? What are all these words? You know, let's get slaughtered." Yeah, something like that. Is that better? Okay. Mangled. Okay, mangled. Okay. And so many people, when you talk about, they talk about the spirit of Christmas, and at the back of their minds, it is alcohol, or it is food, or it is partying. Am I right? Yeah, we hear that on the telly as well. Get into the spirit of Christmas. But today I want to expose the true spirit of Christmas. And approach, as we approach Christmas in a week's time, so that we get to know who the true spirit of Christmas is. And that makes a huge difference to our parting. Amen? Okay, so let's turn to John's Gospel chapter 1. St. John's Gospel chapter 1, and there is a beautiful account in John's Gospel chapter 1, reading from verse 1. And let me actually look at it. Here we are. John's Gospel chapter 1. Have you got your, if you got your Bibles, then from verses 1 to 13, I think it is, yeah. John 1. Oops. Right, there it is. Good. So, in the beginning, the Word was already there. In the beginning, the Word was already there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Him. Nothing that has been made was made without Him. Who is the Him? Jesus. Who is the Word? Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? He was there with God in the beginning. All things were made through Jesus. Nothing that has been made was made without Jesus. Life was in Him. And that life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome the light. Hallelujah. The darkness has not overcome the light. And then he talks about John the Baptist. And he talks about how he came as a witness to all people, that people might believe in the Messiah that had come and was born in Bethlehem. He was not the true light. John the Baptist was not. He wasn't the true light, but he came as a witness to the true light. And then it says in verse 10, and the Word was in the world. That was Jesus. The Word was in the world, and the world was made through Him. The world was made through Him. And the world, but the world did not recognize Him. In the message it says this, the light, the life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through Him. And yet the world didn't even notice. Isn't that sad? He came to His own people, but they didn't want Him. But whoever did want Him, who believed who He was, He claimed, and would do what He said, He made to be their true selves. In another translation, it says this, but some people did accept Him and did believe in His name. He gave them the right to become children of God. To be a child of God has nothing to do with human parents. Verse 13. Children of God are not born because of human choice or because of a husband, because a husband wants them to be born. They are born because of what God does. So we read about in this chapter, in these few verses, we read about the Word. At the beginning of time, there was the Word. Who was this Word? The Word was Jesus Christ. He was the Word of God. In the Hebrew scripture, if you look at the Hebrew, it says the Word was an agent of creation. That's what it means. You see that in Psalm 33 and verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the word of the Lord, you see that? Creative power. Yeah. Because God spoke into nothing. And God created from nothing. And so when we talk about the word of God, we talk about the creative word. The word that was made flesh, that came and he came and dwelt among us. The word was God's message through the prophets. In Hosea, we read in Hosea 1 and verse 2. It says here, then the Lord began to speak by Hosea. And we know that God spoke through the prophets. Whatever God wanted to communicate to his people, he used the prophets. A prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God, or behalf, he has a revelation or a message that comes from God, which God wants to speak to his people. And so it's generally about what's going to happen in the future. And so God often spoke through his prophets. The word was God's law, his standard for holiness. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says this. David says this. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. So the word is also God's law, God's written word. And when we hide God's word in our hearts, that's what David said. Lord, I want to have your word in my heart that I will not sin against you. And if you look at the New Testament, you will see that the word is referred here by John as the divine person that held all things together. The word in the New Testament is a person who holds everything together, because we read there in the scripture, all things were made through him. Can you see that? Everything is held together by him, by Jesus. He was there at the beginning. That's why when God created man, he said, let us make man. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were there at the beginning of time when they created everything that we see around us, and they created man as well. And we see here that John's description shows that he's speaking of Jesus. If you look at verse 14 of the same chapter, have a look at verse 14. You will see this. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh. In other words, the word became a human being. Jesus made his home with us. He left his glory, the glory of the one and only, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus who came from the Father. This word was full of grace. This word was full of truth. The Message Bible says that the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. How about that? The word became flesh, or became human, and moved into the neighborhood. Colossians 1, 15 to 18 reads like this. Colossians 1, 15 to 18 says this. We look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son, Jesus Christ, and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, tell your neighbor, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. In whom? In Jesus. Isn't that an amazing scripture? Everything that we see, everything that is above, everything that is below, everything that is visible, everything that is invisible, every rank of angels, everything got started in Jesus. And everything finds its purpose in Jesus. Wow. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. Hallelujah. Jesus holds everything in his hands. You know, we sing that whole, that song, the old song that we sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. It's as if God was just carrying the world, lifting it up in his hands. If you think of God, you don't think of God as some small person on a shelf somewhere. No, you can't put him on a shelf because God is God. And if you think of God in all his might and power and authority, then you can understand that God is able to carry all his creation. He holds everything by the word of his power. He created the boundaries. That's why the seas don't cross over land. He made everything so perfect when he created this earth. If you look at the universe, that's an amazing architecture, isn't there? You know, there is so much order in the universe. It is amazing. It just baffles me when people say they don't believe in the Creator. You know, as if this all just happened accidentally. Yeah, if you look at this print here, did this happen accidentally? Did this print come suddenly from heaven on the paper? No. Somebody had to create it. Somebody had to write it. Correct?
Yeah.
But people are willing to believe that we just existed. We just came somehow. The world just came. And everything was beautiful and colorful. And yet when you point them to the fact that you show them a beautiful picture, all colorful, fantastic landscapes, and you ask them the question, so how did this picture come about? Did it suddenly fall from heaven? They say, no. Somebody created that picture. Ah, okay. See, they can understand that, but the moment you say, God created you, something happens. That you didn't come from nothing. God made you. Because he loves you. Because we are special. Isn't it strange, isn't it? How people understand things. And Jesus declared this of himself in John chapter 6 and verse 63. He said this, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Why? Because Jesus is the word. The spirit of prophecy is Jesus, and he is the eternal life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I speak the words of eternal life. Peter said, you know, you, Lord, have the words of eternal life. Although Jesus took upon himself humanity, he never ceased to be the eternal God. He never ceased to be the creator and the sustainer of all things. Even today, he's a sustainer of all things. We, you and I, we exist because God created us and made us. And the gifts that we have, amazing gifts, is because God has given them to us. Our creativity, where does it come from? You know, we look at movies today, we look at sculpture, we look at other amazing buildings and feats of architecture, and we wonder, how on earth does man be able to create something like that, imagine something like that? You know, the mind of man is so creative, and you wonder, how does it happen? Now, I don't have all that creative ability. Some do. And praise God for that. That is a gift. It hasn't just evolved. It doesn't suddenly come from nowhere. God's put these gifts in people. And they are different. Everybody here carries a different gift. You may not be able to sing well, but you carry some other gift. Maybe the gift of hospitality. You know, maybe the gift of running a football team. I can't do it to save my life. If I run 50 meters, I go. But God has gifted us. He's made us, and He knows what we are capable of. And accordingly, He's gifted us. That is why we can be comfortable in our gift. And we don't have to envy somebody else's gift. He's given us uniqueness. That gift He's given is for you. And it's for us to appreciate each other's gift and tap into each other's gift and make sure that we are being blessed from each other's gift, because God has done it. With God, every one of us, we are valuable and we are unique. Outside of God, there's nothing. Let me say that again. In God, we have everything. Valuable, unique. Outside of God, nothing. Why? Because outside of God, you're abandoning His purpose for creating you. The next thing we see about the true spirit of Christmas, the first one was the true spirit of Christmas is the Word. The second one is the true spirit of Christmas is the life and the light of men. Verse 4 tells us that. Why is Jesus the life and the light of mankind? Because death brings eternal darkness. And only Christ's eternal life planted in us will keep us alive in His new kingdom forever and forever. We had a video yesterday that Jesus came into the darkness. Light came into the darkness and dispelled the darkness. Jesus, the light, the life and the light came into this world and dispelled everything that was satanic and demonic. And He gives us the ability to share in this light, to be part of who He really is. He's not kept anything for Himself. Isn't that amazing? That everything that Jesus was and is ours. Everything. His assassin said, this is my holy bit, you know. You can have the rest. No, He's given us everything. That's how amazing Jesus is. Colossians 1:13-14 says this. Colossians 1:13-14. He has saved us from the kingdom of darkness. Who has saved us? Jesus has saved us from the kingdom of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son of His that He loves. Verse 14. Because of what the Son has done, we have been set free. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus has done, we have been set free. There is no other freedom outside of Jesus Christ. You can look for it, you can pay money for it, but you'll never find it outside of Jesus. But in Jesus, it comes free of charge. And all we have to do is receive Jesus into our lives and say, Jesus, I accept You. You don't belong to a cult. You don't belong to some special sect or some secretive group. No. You belong to the family of Jesus. And that's a liberating family. It's not a family that pushes you down or tries to keep you trapped. See, any religion that tries to control you and keep you trapped is dangerous. But what Jesus said was liberating. It gives you freedom. It doesn't trap you. It doesn't hold you. It doesn't keep you in so many traditions and hierarchies and things like that. I know in some circles in Christianity, people like to think that they are superior, or they think they have some status or some standing just because somebody has canonized them or, you know, bishop them or done something else. But we are all one in Christ. We are all equal in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. But all are equal and one in Christ Jesus. God gives us differing gifts and abilities and calling in our lives. And I'm responsible for the call that God has given me over this house. And I value that call. And I'm blessed to be here, to be serving amongst you. That's who I am. When I come to you, I come as a servant. Because that's what God expects of me, a servant of the Lord. Not in pomp and pageantry. Jesus never came in pomp and pageantry, did he? No. He was born in a stinking stable. I feel sorry for those who like the pomp and the pageantry, because Jesus never came like that. He never preached about pompness and pageantry. But man has somehow, sadly, thought themselves to be superior, higher than the congregation, laity? Is that correct? Laity, that's right. And it's sad that some clergy think they're up there. And the laity are down here. Well, still, praise God. That's not so here. Doesn't happen here, okay? Hallelujah. He has saved us from darkness. He has brought us into his kingdom. Why? Because he loves us. We have been set free. Because of him, all our sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus. Christ is eternal. Psalm 90 and verse 2 tells us that. John 8 and 58 tells us that Christ is eternal. Colossians 1 and 17 tells us that. Revelation 1 and verse 8 tells us that. It tells us that Jesus Christ, he is God. John 10 and verse 30 tells us that. He came to earth to offer mankind the hope and the light of his eternal life. That's why he came. That's why verse 5 of John's Gospel chapter 1 tells us that darkness was shattered. It was extinguished. It was put out when Jesus stepped in to Mother Earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. He didn't need the pomp and the pageantry. He didn't need a palace. Then Jesus stepped in. A stinking stable was fine because he was God in man. God born as man. The eternal God born as man for one purpose, and that is to set us free. That is to draw us back to the Father's love. That is to show people the way of salvation. That's to bring freedom out of oppression and depression and all the stuff that the enemy tries to shower and chuck on us. It's to set us free from all of that. That's why Jesus came. The darkness of evil never has and never will overcome or extinguish God's light. We might think of things happening around the world today, and we might think, oh my goodness, what is happening? But God's light will never and can never and will never be extinguished, can never be put out. In his light, it is his light that searches our hearts and enables us to recognize we are sinners needing the Savior. It's his light. When we follow the light, we don't have to walk blindly. And we don't have to walk into sin. The blind can never lead another blind person. they'll soon fall into a ditch, correct? In order to lead another person, you've got to walk in the light. So that person can see your light. That's why I like the scripture that, you know, it says, so that you might glorify the Father, or let your deeds be done, your good deeds be done before men, not to pump yourself up, but that others might see what you are doing and be a follower of Jesus. That's why. When Jesus guides your life, you will never need to stumble in darkness again. Jesus said in John 9 and verse 5, he said, "I am the light of the world." Nobody else said that. Jesus said it. "I am the light of the world." We are reflectors of this light in this world. We reflect the love of Jesus. We reflect the glory of Jesus. We reflect the light of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 13 that we are salt and that we are light. Two basic things. The third thing that the true spirit of Christmas gives us, he gives you the right, hallelujah, he gives you the right to become children of God, hallelujah. He gives you the right. In verse 11, it says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. In other words, he came to the Jews, but the Jews missed it big time. Can you imagine that? I mean, we get hung up about, you know, people, you know, not coming to church, not catching the gospel of Jesus, etc., etc. But you think at the time of Jesus, all the Pharisees, most of them, didn't catch it at all. I mean, they saw the man himself doing amazing miracles. And yet, they didn't believe in the Messiah. And so we don't need to be discouraged. That's what I tell myself. You know, because sometimes it can be so discouraging. But we don't have to be discouraged. But we got to keep moving on. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep teaching. Keep praising. Keep walking in the light. And people will see it. It might be a handful, but thank God for the handful of people. Jesus gives you the right to become children of God. It's so sad. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him. Now we're talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, those that Jesus did not come for. But all those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. Children not born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. In other words, something happens, transpires in the life of a man that when they encounter Jesus as their personal, as the Lord and Savior, what happens is your exterior doesn't change, but your spirit man changes. There's something that happens in your spirit. You know that something in you has shifted. That darkness, that gloominess, that oppression has lifted. You feel that, you know it in your spirit, and you know that something has transformed in your life. That is the Spirit of God. And sometimes it's not just having goosebumps and go, you know. It's just knowing. Once I was in sin, in darkness, now I know, wow, something has changed in me. Because when I look at that sin again, it's not attractive anymore. I don't feel comfortable in that anymore. That's when you know that something's happened. But if you're comfortable going back into it, then I'll question your salvation. Because Sin and righteousness don't mix. And so when you have a genuine encounter with Jesus, you can't live in this zone anymore and feel comfortable. You with me?
Yeah.
Nobody angry with me? Good. Okay. The Jews did not recognize Jesus the Messiah, although he walked among them. He taught them in the synagogues. They missed the very Savior of the world. Oh, man, I tell you. They missed the very Savior of the world who was right there before their eyes, was right in front of them, doing amazing things. All who welcome Jesus as their Lord and Savior in their lives are reborn spiritually. That's what we say, born again. That's what it means. Not born physically, but you're born, reborn in your spirit, man. Because we are a three-part being. We have a soul, we have a spirit that lives in a body. And your soul accounts for your mind, what you think, your feelings, your emotions, one day up, one day down, you know, one day nice, another day... And then you use your will as well. You have a will. You're not forced to do anything. You have a choice. You can choose Jesus or you can refuse him. It's your choice. You can choose to come to church or you can choose not to come to church. It's your choice. We don't force. We can't force anyone. We all have a choice. That's the beauty of Jesus. He gives us a choice. All who welcome Jesus are accepted. Through faith in Jesus, this new birth changes us from the inside out. It rearranges our attitudes, our desires, and our motives. It changes us. Suddenly you realize, wow, church becomes important. God's people become important. Studying the Word becomes important. See, attitudes change. Desires change. Motives change. Oh, I want to bless this person just because I want to be a blessing. Not because he's done anything to me, but I just want to bless him. That's a change in motives, isn't it? Our attitude. That's what happens when you come to Jesus. As much as physically being physically born makes you alive, the place makes you alive, and the places you were, and places you in your parents' family. So being spiritually born makes you spiritually alive, and puts you in God's family. Can you see that? This Christmas, let's not miss the true spirit of Christmas, like the Jews did. Being blinded by everything else, all the other stuff, the turkey and the mistletoe, you know, all the decorations, whatever else that goes on. Let's not miss the true spirit by all the hype and the activity that goes on. But let's allow the true spirit of Christmas, the true spirit the world should know, who is Jesus Christ, to come into our lives and become in us Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. God in us. Emmanuel. So the question that we can ask ourselves is, have we asked Jesus to come into our lives? Have we asked Jesus to make us new? He says, all things are made new to them who are in Christ Jesus. All things pass away. You can have a fresh start in life, no matter what the past has been. The past is the past. But Jesus can give you a new start in life. And that comes by simply believing and trusting Jesus. That's it. There's no magic formula to that. We don't have to travel the world. We don't have to go on a pilgrimage to find Jesus. you can find Him just where you are. Isn't that beautiful? Is that liberating? You don't have to pay money. We don't ask for money to find Jesus, because His love is free. His gift of salvation is free. All you have to do is receive it. Receive Him into our lives. Jesus loves you. And He desires to have a relationship with you. He desires to give you life to the full. Jesus desires to give you joy. He desires to give you purpose. That's why He came. It's only Him who can change the past. He can walk into those areas that you and I cannot walk into. And Jesus can change what was darkness to light. It's only Him who can wipe our slate clean. He's the same today as He was yesterday. And in the future, He will always be the same. His love for us will never change. It will never run dry. It will never run out. Jesus knows the worst about you, but yet He believes the best. Why? Because He knows that once He's done with you, you'll become someone that's so precious, so valuable. That when He sees you as His child. Jesus is an amazing friend. And He has a great future. And sometimes we look at our immediate surroundings and we look at our next 5 years, or maybe some of us have a 5-year plan, 10-year plan. And we fail to realize that Jesus has an amazing plan and an amazing future. And I know sometimes you think, oh, that's good for you to say, but I'm not feeling it now. My life is kind of a mess. But that's why Jesus came. To take that mess and bring something beautiful. There's a song that we sing, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But Jesus made something beautiful out of my life. Jesus can make something beautiful out of everyone's lives. Do we want to know this Jesus? Are we willing to do what Jesus says just because He said it? He said, I am the light of the world. And this morning, all you have to do is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and into your life. And say, Jesus, You are the true spirit of Christmas. You are the true light of the world. You shattered the darkness. And Jesus, I want You to shatter the darkness in my life. I want to shatter the pain in my life. I want You to shatter the disappointments in my life, Lord Jesus. And Jesus, come into my life. I make You my Lord and my Savior. And the moment we say that, because He says to all who believe in His name, all who believe in His name. And He said, Jesus, I believe in You today. And the Bible tells us that we become His children. He gives us the right. I can't give you that right. But Jesus gives you the right. You know, it's like a title deed. When you have a title deed to a property, it's yours. By law, it is yours. Nobody can encroach that property. Nobody can come and suddenly take it over. You have the title deed. When Jesus receives you, you receive His title deed into your life, that the devil can no longer have claim over your life. He cannot possess you anymore. He cannot have any claim over your life. He might try, but you have the title deed that Jesus has paid for with His blood when He died on the cross of Calvary. Let's all stand this morning. Let's sing a song, a worship song together. And as we're singing that, I want us to just reflect on what I have spoken this morning. I just wanted to say, Jesus, whatever you have for me this season, God, just bring it to pass in my life. Thank you, Lord.
So lift it up.
Lift it up. He defeated the grave. Raised to life. Our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord, our God is able.
Lift it up.
Lift it up. He defeated the grave.
God.